everyone. It is Chris. Welcome to the Bonner Breakdown. We want to start off by saying thank you to our sponsors, Bonner Community Housing Agency. You can get more information at bonnerhousing.org, whether it's our home ownership program or our transitional housing program. You know somebody who's found themselves homeless and they need a place to stay for up to 2 years in order to get on their feet. We can help them with that. Now, we also want to say thank you to our season sponsor, Ting. Of course, Ting is crazy fast fiber optic internet. You know, this episode and this entire season, season two, is being brought to you by Ting, crazy fast internet. And one of the things about Ting's crazy fast internet is that they are by far the fastest internet in the area. And with Ting, you can watch videos without any buffering, make crystal clear video calls, upload, download videos in seconds, and you're able to do all of that with the Ting crazy fast fiber internet. So head to ting.com/sandpoint and go ahead and register there so that they know where to go with their connections next. So if you don't have Ting yet, go to ting.com/sandpoint and get on the list for their expansion as they bring crazy fast internet throughout this region. And when you do that and you pre-register there, you're able to save some money on the installation of Ting when they get to you. So make sure you do that. So thank you again to Ting for crazy fast fiber internet, sponsors of the show. Now, for the good report today, we're talking about the Winter Festival and all the fun things, Winter Carnival stuff that's going on. We really are enjoying all of the great activities that we have here in Sandpoint. It's just an absolutely wonderful place to live. It's a wonderful place to enjoy some things. So if you have a dog or a pet of any kind, you know that Panhandle Animal Shelter just does a phenomenal job with our pets. Our family, we picked out a wily, crazy cat named Jasper. Now this cat, for whatever reason, is not like our old cat. This cat is has a little bit of extra juice in his tank, but he is a pleasure to have in our house. We're so glad to have him. You know, our daughter Quinn absolutely loves this cat, and we got to thank Panhandle Animal Shelter. You guys did just an amazing job when we went to get that cat. And if you like pets at all, you need to be supporting the Panhandle Animal Shelter. And you can do that actually Saturday, tomorrow. This broadcast is February 21st. On the 22nd, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. is the keg pull. Okay, so get your canines down there. Pre-registration starts at 10:15. It is on between 2nd and 3rd Avenue in the alley right next to iCart's Pub and Grill. So you want to pre-register 10:15, get your dog down there. They are going to pull beer cans, kegs, whatever is appropriately sized for your dog. You're going to take it down there. You're going to raise some money for Panhandle Animal Shelter. So we're excited about that. Get down there for that tomorrow. And, of course, we have to give a cheers to the good report. So get out your cup, your mug, your glass, your water bottle, whatever it is that you've got right now. Go ahead and raise that up. Man, I love coffee. I've got coffee in mine. So, you know, raise it up and we're gonna give a cheers to the good report. So with that, we just say ting or cheers to the good report. Let's take that sip together. Yep. Gotta love the good report. All right. With that, we're going to jump into our episode today with Habitat for Humanity. Dan and Kurt are going to join us, and we're going to have a great conversation about all the things that Habitat has done and what they've got coming up. So without any further delay, here's Habitat for Humanity on episode 15 of the Bonner Breakdown. Well, guys, good to have you with us from Habitat. Kurt and Dan are both here with us.
Thank you.
Thank you
for inviting me.
Yes, thank you.
I don't know what happened to Alan, but, Hey, the three of us is going to make a party, and we're going to have some fun. Kurt, you serve on the board at Bonner Community Housing Agency, and you also served on the board of Habitat for a long time.
Yes.
You've been here a long time. Dan, you've been working with Habitat since 06. I just want to get some of the background a little bit for you guys personally, kind of just a little bit of your story. So, Dan, tell us a little bit. When did you move to Sandpoint? And tell us a little bit about your background.
I moved to Sandpoint in 2006 and started with Habitat within a couple months after that.
Okay.
My background, I was in the Air Force for a career, and then worked for Boeing for half a career, and basically then moved here.
Okay.
So I'd always wanted to do more with Habitat, and so people said, hey, come on in, we'll help you. And
fresh blood on the volunteer train.
And it actually goes back to, I was joined the board, and then within about a year, Kurt said, you know, I think I'd like to move off to another nonprofit.
This Kurt?
This Kurt.
Oh.
And he said, why don't you, you should be the vice president. It'll work fine. And I said, I kind of thought about it. I said, really don't want to do that. He said, well, I'll help you out. He said, I don't want to do any fundraising. I just want to build. And that didn't work, you know. You end up that if you're in this program,
come on,
you do everything that's needed.
Yep.
And smile about
yep.
it.
Yep, that's right. That's yep. right. Be happy. Be happy.
Be happy.
Yep. So go ahead, Kurt.
Okay, well,
the Habitat handshake is what
Habitat
I saw
handshake.
Happening
yeah, that's,
right there.
That's
All
it.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now, how long have you been in Sandpoint?
23 years.
Uh-huh. And you to give us a little bit of your background and
well,
history.
Chris, I grew up a dirt farmer in eastern north central Montana.
Uh-huh.
My grandfather homesteaded there. We had 180 head of Herefords and 50 head of Holsteins we milked and ran the farm. And then I threw the keyboard into the trailer, and I went to Seattle, Washington, and was a professional musician and a real estate broker for 30 years in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
Did both jobs full-time,
mm-hmm.
And finally, came to Sandpoint because it reminded me a lot of home.
Right.
And I met Tom Harville at the Lutheran Church. They were having a Habitat meeting, and I had done Habitat work in Seattle.
Okay.
We did a lot of rehabs in Seattle. And so joined up then, and we had one house at that time. And
wow.
Thanks to Dan and all his hard work and his group, now we're at how many, Dan?
21.
21 homes. It's amazing.
That's amazing.
Isn't it? For yep. I'm just so proud of these guys. They've worked so hard and done it. They really have. Mm-hmm. And so I'm here still selling real estate. I'm a geezer. I'm older than dirt.
Yeah,
You know, 75 years old, and I can't wait to help out. BCHA's got a wonderful program. And
uh-huh.
I just love the people that I get a chance to work with on these boards, these dedicated people.
It's really amazing. I'm always blown away by how I think a good word would be benevolent.
Yeah.
Like we just have a benevolent community. We just give people just give a lot here.
They do.
Which is pretty cool. So
yeah.
So how long has has Habitat, the Panhandle Habitat, been going up here in Bonner County?
I want to say, Dan, maybe you know better than I want to say at least 26, 27 years, somewhere near, because they had been going when I showed up on the scene. And then Pete Merritt, a buddy, introduced me to Dan, and then I pulled a gun on him and made him show up. And he's done a wonderful job,
right.
I got to tell you.
Yeah.
So it's been at least that long. And at the time I joined in, they had the one house completed on Red Clover.
Yep.
And then we went out to Jewel Lake, the infamous Jewel Lake, and finished a home out there because it was hard to get land. You know, that was the thing. And just what we're talking about today.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, boy, it's just hard. especially with the prices on our market that we have here in Sandpoint currently.
Yep.
It's not cheap deal. So that's why.
Well,
it's
and you guys went from Jewel Lake, and is that when after Jewel Lake you started Schistler Meadows?
Well, not quite.
Okay,
no,
still had a little bit more.
Yeah, we did some spots around before we finally got that put to bed.
Okay.
Literally, a guy named Jackson, Ken Jackson, who owned the winery here in town, donated his whole house to us at Ponder Point. And we lifted it off the foundation and ran it down the road to a place over by the old Baptist church on Hickory.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And there's two homes there.
Yeah.
And one of those was Jackson's that we stole from him. He came home and there was nothing left but a concrete basement.
That's awesome. Well, when we look at the process of Habitat's growth over, 30 years here in the area, what you mentioned land, but I'm sure that you've had some other big challenges to overcome as an organization. What have been some of the big challenges that you guys have to, that you guys run into at Habitat?
The biggest challenge was probably when the recession was
See, that's the banker right there. He's wanting to know where the payment is.
Was that Alan?
Yeah. No, I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Oh, Alan's the banker.
When we had the big... when the...
Recession hit.
Recession hit.
Oh, wait.
And so donations slowed down.
Uh-huh.
And so trying to buy materials
right.
for the house, and I'd say, we don't have any money in the operating account, or we got zero left, and Kurt would just say, "Just buy the stuff, and hold your hand out, and the money will come in." And it did. I mean, we would get enough to and we had some great suppliers that let us do things on time, pay off on time.
Oh, that's great.
But that was a big challenge. And then it was a challenge for our homeowners because a lot of them got laid off.
Wow.
And right. But we didn't lose a single house.
Well, and that part of that, I think, gets into the unique nature of panhandles of this Habitat for Humanity, because not all panhandle not all Habitat for Humanities are the bank too.
Yeah.
And so you guys are set up in a really unique fashion to be able to fund the mortgage.
That is true. We are the bank, so we're carrying the note. If we sold those notes and people lost their job or had a medical issue, you don't want to think what would happen here.
Oh, yeah.
The last thing we would want to do is foreclose on one of our homeowners.
Yeah.
We don't believe in that. So what we'll do is work with the homeowner. Mm-hmm. If they're going through some, they just don't have the income coming in, then we'll talk to them about, okay, how can we work this out?
Mm-hmm.
And we've always worked it out.
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's really good. Do you find that people stay in the homes a long time? Are they kind of starter homes? Do they sell and kind of move up? What's been the outlook of after 21 homes? I'm sure not all of them still have the same people in them. Is there a kind of a big turnover there, or that look like?
We don't have a big turnover. Mm-hmm. We've had a few that, there may be a family issue. People
sure.
gonna move. We've had people that wanted to move over to Western Washington, and we ended up buying back the house on that one and putting another family in it.
Oh, so now, and because you're the mortgage holder.
Because, well, we have, we have a first right of refusal.
That's great.
So if they don't have a lot of equity in the house, we'll just buy it back.
And then awesome.
And put another family in it.
Wow. That's great.
We've had a couple people that have sold their house before it went to term, but we've also had people that took it all the way to term and paid it off. So
wow, that's impressive. Yeah, that's great. So what are the qualifications? What do people look for? What do you, what kind of people are you looking for in order to buy one of these houses?
Somebody that has, they need a job. They have to have some, or they have to have some income.
Yeah.
And
you guys are at 60%.
60% of the area median income. Mm-hmm. So that's who we want. And we also, the other aspect is, you know, they got to have an income so that, because otherwise you're just setting them up to fail.
Mm-hmm.
If they have an income that they can afford a very small mortgage, well, and then they also need to work on the house. They have to, there's the buy-in. We're not giving the house away, they buy in that it's actually their house, and they'll actually take better care of it. We have friends and family can help out, but they have to get their sweat equity hours
in those houses. So what's required for sweat equity, time-wise?
Married couple would have to get 500 hours.
Okay.
300 for a single mom.
Okay. So 500 hours, and they can split that up with friends and family?
Or is friends that just and family can get 20% of that.
Okay. All right. Wow. So now what's the planning process then? You guys say, okay, we've got some land. We want to build a house. You guys are averaging about one a year, right? I think that's kind of the pace.
That's kind of the pace is one a year, because really that's our donations we get enable us to build one a year.
Yeah. So when you look at the planning and you're looking out, you know, obviously if you're doing one a year, do you have like a bunch of applications? Is there a big group of people that are waiting? What's that look like?
Well, a lot of times I've seen, Dan too, I'm sure, there's sometimes quite a herd waiting, you know. A lot of times it thins it out naturally because it does take a bit of time. You just don't get one next week, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And then, of course, like Dan was saying, we have certain degrees of qualifications that they have to have, either up in wages or lower in wages, and it's worth waiting for because of the fact, in my opinion, there's no other way a lot of times for some of these families.
Right.
And the big thing I noticed is that's for the children. The children have a place every day to come back to, and let me tell you, a lot of those families have been, you know, down the road a lot in a lot of different ways and never had any stability.
Yeah, yeah.
That's huge. And it's just like BCHA has the same level. I mean, there are very many parallels with BCHA and Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah, we're really close. You know, we don't do self-help.
Right.
Right, self-build. You know, we don't do that aspect of it, but we also have a little bit higher area median income. So
you do,
But it's really impressive. So I want to see if you guys have any good stories about whether it's funny or tragic or hilarious or just a good happy-go-lucky story about a family. And you know, anything that stood out to you, any families that really stood out to you that you go like, there was this situation and it really meant a lot. You guys recall any?
Probably one of my favorite families. It is it's a three generation family, and they were living in like a pre 64 single wide.
Wow. Yeah,
The kids, there was two bedrooms in this single wide, and so the kids, three children, they didn't have a bedroom. So at night, when people got ready to go to bed, And it was grandma and grandpa, and then the husband and wife, and then the three kids. The three kids would basically pull out sleeping bags mm-hmm. and sleep on the living room floor on, like, mats.
Mm.
And so the husband and so the husband and wife applied, and when we did checking their financial situation, they had way too much credit card debt, and so we turned them down. So the wife said to her husband, we're going to fix this.
She's got to be in her bonnet. Yep. Said they were going to take
care of this. She had the goal. And so next year, you know, they applied again
uh-huh.
and we checked and they had paid down their debt.
Wow. I mean, and then they had, that's so great.
And what, you know, one of the main things we look at when we, if you had a whole group of people that, mm-hmm. that all qualified, when you're narrowing it down, you look at what are they living in currently. The one that lives in the worst place is going to get the house.
Wow.
So we looked at that situation. We said, they are top people. So then when we started thinking about what kind of house are we going to build, and I said, well, we got three generations. And it was kind of like, so at our board, we said, well, some people were saying, well, grandma and grandpa, they should apply
separately.
Yeah. And I said, well, what happens next year if someone is in a more dire straits than them? And now you've got this family dynamics of they're not living together.
Yeah.
So we kind of molded over and said, well, we'll just build a grandma quarters.
Okay.
On to the house.
Like a little extra mother-in-law type.
Yeah.
Unit. Wow.
So we built a house with a little wing for grandma and grandpa with access to the main house.
Wow.
And that family's done just blossomed.
That's so great.
Their son, who's the oldest, started at U of I last year. They're hard workers. Every one of those kids does well in school.
Yeah.
Sports.
Yeah.
It's just awesome.
That's so great. And the numbers are actually staggering of what happens when there's home ownership and what happens to the family when
yep.
you own the home. That when you move from renting to owning, the largest voter block in America is homeowners for local issues as well as national. You find that the rates of kids that go to college goes through the roof when you go from rental to homeownership. So just that one yep. statistic always kind of blew me away. In 2013, it was like 120% increase of kids going to college if they grew up in a home where their parents own the house.
Yeah.
I mean, just amazing. I don't know all the answers as to why, but I mean, we could speculate, but that's pretty cool. That's a great, great story. So now you guys have had a lot of different people on your board over the years. Mm-hmm. I know that recently we lost a great one mm-hmm. in Tom Harville, and I'd love to pick your brains a little bit about what an amazing person he was and just take a moment to maybe reminisce about Tom. You know, because I had the privilege of being at the ceremony, and Kurt, you know, got to play some music for that. And it's just been the celebration of Tom was just really a beautiful thing. What was his impact on Habitat when he got involved?
Well, Tom, my part of it anyway, my thoughts, and I know Dan has too, because he spent so much time with Tom. Tom was a quiet sort in some ways. You didn't hear him tooting his horn a lot. I remember
yeah.
that specifically. Also, he had a thing about making sure everybody was okay. He had that caretaker thing so much. He being in the banking business like he was, we did a lot of him and I would talk about money, like Dan mentioned, and Schittler Meadows, for example, was for sale, and I aced out a local builder here on the offer, which was we didn't have any money. I remember sitting in the church, the basement of the Methodist church, and having a quick meeting, and everybody sitting around and says, well, we can't buy that. And I said, sure you can. Well, we don't have any money. I said, well, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. Let's make an offer. They'd look at me like I just lost my mind, you know.
Well, that's a pretty normal look for you.
Yeah, that's okay. True. Yeah. I mean, most folks understand. They know what they're dealing with. So I said, no, let me carry the offer to them. Come on, you guys. We'll figure it out. We don't worry about the small stuff. So we went in there, and we bought this acreage. And then we started, and they said, well, we don't have any money. You know, they sound like minor birds. And I says, you know, we don't have any money. We don't have any. Ah, we don't have any money. We don't have any money. So what? So we got some excavator to donate stuff. We got people that built roads and stuff to donate. I hooked a guy into the trap that was next door that had another piece of ground. We developed it together, and he had money. So that's why we wanted him. And, you know, those things, I have a saying with where there's a will, there's a relative. And so when you think about that, you want to remember that you can overcome a lot of things, even the relatives. You can overcome them because all you got to do is be looking straight ahead and believe and have enthusiasm. Yeah. And guess what? And when you buy something, and I told them I'm on the board over here at the Music Conservatory.
Right, yeah.
They just bought that building they're did. In, yep. The old City Hall. I never saw so many hand ringers in my life. I thought they're going to wear the skin out on their hands ringing, you know. I said, just go buy the thing. Let's put the offer in, and your life will change, like mm-hmm. you're just talking about.
Yep.
And guess what? They're overwhelmed by the support because
yep.
they say, hey, they got some skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that happened with Schittler. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget. I want to quickly interject this.
Go for it.
We had a older couple, well, not older, but, I mean, that young family. A man and his wife, and he was a special needs guy. And we built a house for him on Cedar there back by the church that was on Division there.
Mm.
I'll never forget, Tom and I are standing there, and I wanted to reiterate, Tom worked so hard on this because he had a passion for the situation this couple was in.
Yeah.
And the day of the dedication, because the half of the church helped with the build, here they come walking up the street on Cedar to their gathering, and then after the gathering of all the church members had a little, and we stood there by the new house, and here they come hand in hand walking to their new place. Now, if that doesn't put a lump in your throat,
boy,
and it was wonderful, and that was Tom in a capsule, caring, making sure people got taken
wow.
care of. Are you all right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a beautiful. Beautiful man.
Well, I think, you know, Tom's memorial service was a perfect indication of how loved he was.
Oh, man. It was packed.
It was packed.
Packed.
There was a large number of Habitat
mm-hmm.
families
there was.
That were there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a lot, I think anybody that ever met him was there. It was like, and I talked to people there, ask them, well, you know, how did you, what was your relationship with Tom? Where did you meet him? With, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
There were people there that, well, you know, Tom was in the banking business. We just came here to town as young kids, and he approved our first loan. Or he got me a job.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
mm-hmm.
He cared about people.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's powerful.
And he had a great sense of humor.
He did have a good sense of humor. Yeah.
You wouldn't have guessed it first, but.
Yeah. I really enjoyed when I was in the mortgage industry and he was at American West Bank, and we went through a pretty lengthy interview process because I was looking at maybe switching banks and going mm-hmm. to work for him, and just really got to know him pretty well through that process. And then, of course, you know, when you get to know people in the banking industry, you're always bumping into each other all over the place. And he genuinely cared just about family and about your life and, yep. and all of that. And that's just wonderful. And of course, Jerry's around and hopefully she's doing well. I know you've been able to connect with her, but, let's talk a little bit about where you guys are at right now with development. What are your prospects? What do you have on the horizon with Habitat right now?
Well, we just completed our 21st house, I guess, last week.
Oh, really?
It'll be dedicated on the 18th of April.
Okay.
Which is Saturday, 10 a.m. Sometime this spring, when the load limits are off and things are looking better in Sandpoint, not right. so much mud, we've got three lots over by Farm and Stidwell.
Okay.
This is the first time we built in Sandpoint in a number of years. So we've got those three lots.
Mm-hmm.
We still have one lot out at Shisher Meadows that our shop is in. We have to tear down the shop. We have to move everything out, find a place for it so that we can tear it down. Mm-hmm. And then once we tear it down, we can build on that lot.
Okay. Great.
But that's where we are. So we've got four more years of dirt to work with.
Mm-hmm.
We have 7 acres north end of McGee Road.
McGee Road, yep.
And that's undeveloped.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're hoping that maybe 5 years from now we can develop, we can build on that McGee Road property.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there's a lot of changes happening up in that neck of the woods with the Field of Dreams and the local option tax and Ponderay and all that kind of stuff. So, Kurt, what are you seeing outlook-wise for, you know, obviously they've got a few more years ahead, but there's also the 7-acre parcel. What are you kind of seeing happening long-term with some of that development?
Well, I tell you, honestly, Chris, you were the guy that started talking about the lease and that stuff with
the
land.
The ground leases, yeah.
Ground leases. You know, my ears perked up right away, and I thought, man, that's a made-to-fit possibility with Habitat. And we explored that, and we had our meetings, Dan, and you and I, and Tom, and everybody was kind of talking it over. And I see Habitat here. It's steady. It's such a steady.
It is.
It's a steady, solid. And the thing I like about it, even the future now, is we've got. I remember Mike Schisler, who the place was named after. Mm-hmm. Mike was a great guy and a Habitat fella, and he said, "Kurt, if we could just get three built, we got it made.
Yeah,
we can rest on that."
Yeah.
How are we doing on that rest? What, 21, well, you said, yeah. Dan? And, you know, we're still out there beating the drum for money.
When we started BCHA and I was working on the land trust development, I think you were the one, and you weren't even on our board yet, but we were having this conversation between BCHA and Habitat at the time, just like, is there a potential partnership here? That's before we got you in the hostage negotiations for board members.
Exactly, yeah.
So, But in that process, I remember you said once you get sticks built, once you get something built, the entire outlook of the organization will change. And when we built our first, I remember when we began digging the foundation, it was like, oh, all of a sudden, just like you were saying with the music conservatory, it was like, wow, these guys are actually not just talking about it anymore. They've got skin in the game.
Bingo.
They're developing, and it just changed our entire trajectory as an organization. So,
absolutely.
You know, I want to see something happen in honor of Tom Harville in the next big development that we do. And, you know, if we're partnering together or however that comes about, would love to see, you know, whether it's a Harville Meadows or whatever that, you know, potentially could be. I'd love to see that. He had such a huge impact.
It would bring a big smile to Tom's face. I know he's looking down.
Yeah, it would. So, do you guys get a lot of applications for Habitat houses? Do you guys does it seem like there's a steady flow of that, or is it kind of hit and miss?
Truly, we don't get inundated. It's okay. Well, there are people that are always looking for free housing. And,
of course,
and
yeah.
So, like I said, they do need a source of income to get a habitat house because mm-hmm. they have mm-hmm. to be able to make a mortgage payment.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people, when they find out that they can't get the house, like right now, they've got to wait 2 years.
Yeah.
So that's also weeds out another section. And then it's just basically going through vetting the ones that do apply
mm-hmm.
and then selecting mm-hmm. the one that deserves it the most.
Yep. Yep.
What I love that saying, Chris, it's a hand up, not a
it's a handout.
Yep. What about, as an organization, as you guys look to the future, and you've got, we've got this 7 acres, north of McGee, and you've got, you know, 3-4 more lots over the next few years that you can develop. You guys do a lot more than just build houses. What are some of the other things that you do? And specifically, I know that you guys manage a store. You do some other things. Tell us a little bit about some of the other things that you guys do in the community.
Well, the ReStore takes donated, basically, furniture, appliances, building materials, mm-hmm. light fixtures, things like mm-hmm. that, resells them, and the profit from that goes directly to our build.
Okay.
So that it's, you know, and it's, you know, it's not so much a, there are some good buys in there, but it's not like, you know, it's not a bargain basement kind of thing
mm-hmm.
because they're trying to make money to give to Habitat.
So one of the ways that people can support Habitat is just to go shop at the ReStore for quality used furniture, appliances. You guys have all types of stuff in there.
Actually,
building materials. I'm like, what?
Actually, one of the best. If you're looking for a used appliance,
uh-huh.
All the appliances, first of all, they get checked out.
Okay.
We don't sell anything that
isn't working.
Isn't working.
Yeah.
If it's working and we can fix it
mm-hmm.
For a reasonable amount of mm-hmm. money, not, you know, some, you know, a lot
yeah.
of money.
Yeah.
Because then we can't sell it for.
When
it's going to cost us more to fix it than what we can get to sell it. But there's usually a good inventory of, like, washers, dryers, refrigerators, those type of things. Well, and they've all been tested, and they're all clean. They've all mm-hmm. – we also clean them before we sell them.
Well, and we – so as an organization, whenever we do a rehab and we go in and mm-hmm. we buy a house, and then we've got to replace all the appliances regardless of their
yep.
condition. They all go right over to Habitat.
Yep.
So –
We've had people that are going to do a remodel.
Yeah.
Or they're going to scrape what's there off and they give us an opportunity to come, get the cabinets.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go in and take as much, anything that is,
of value. Yeah. Yep.
We will go ahead and, take that out for them.
Yeah. I've got a great freezer has had for 10 years sitting in my garage
mm-hmm.
from Habitat. Works like a charm.
Yeah, when my wife and I bought our house in 2010, we went right over to Habitat and just bought our washer and dryer from there because we just spent all of our money on a house. We weren't going to do all new appliances.
Luckily,
we've upgraded, but you know, it was like, man, that worked great for us. So how long has the store been around?
Well, it was originally over on Boyer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then
that's when we
moved over to off of Baldy.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So about 10 years?
About 10 years.
Yeah.
It belonged to an installation guy here in Tahoe.
Uh-huh.
And he was great, and he was a fan of Habitat too. And we approached him, and I always wore knee pads most of the time. To beg. That's my begging pads, I call
love
them.
It.
And worked out a deal and work fine. You know, whatever
no,
it took.
Great.
I'll tap dance to Margie if we have to.
Well, so what types of fundraisers do you guys do other than the ReStore?
our Christmas letter, where we basically beg, does really well.
Do they ask? Yeah. Good.
We used to do a few other things. The Poor Authority has been really good to us. We do about every 6 months a fundraiser at the Poor Authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do a lot of fundraisers.
John Hagedorn, they're really good to this community.
That's awesome.
Or John is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's surprisingly, it's one a month, I think. I think that's right.
Mm-hmm.
To some nonprofit.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's awesome. Good. So what is the big ask? Do you guys have a big ask right now? Something that you're saying, hey, we've got these things in the pipeline. We could really use help in this arena. If you were going to ask the general public for help, are you looking for people to help build? Are you looking for board members? What's kind of going
on
right now?
Yes. People that, another area of Habitat is the family selection.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. and they're really, they select the families, but they also mentor the families. Mm. After we sell them the house, we don't just walk away from it and say, see ya. You got, this is your house. And no, we keep in contact with them, just to make sure that, if they get any questions about owning their house, and we mentor them for really keep in contact with them for the entire time they're in that house.
And if BCHA and Habitat do something together on that land out there, we get to that part. You look at the development needs. I mean, we've got excavator needs. Mm-hmm. We've got people that are installing dry utilities.
That's right.
We've got sewer and water issues that we've got to pipe in. I mean, there's a ton of things and opportunities, we'll call them, that we got from Schisler the same way. Mm-hmm. And to do it in phases. It doesn't have to all be done at once.
Of course.
It's like eating an elephant, one bite at a time. Mm-hmm. Just kind of take your time, go through it. Yeah. And you'd be surprised once you get going. Those tradespeople, i.e. the excavators, the people that do the plumbing, the utilities, all those, they talk to each other. And
they do.
We found that next thing you know, here comes somebody else.
Oh, that's awesome. So you mentioned the family selection committee. And so are you looking to add board members to help with that?
The family selection committee always needs people. Because that's, people will do that for 5 years or something and then move on and do,
sure.
They're looking for something else. So that's one area. Board members. Tom was his, because he came out of the lending banking business, that was his expertise. He also loved to do, the nail pounding portion, but he also took a lot of pride in processing or just all the legwork or getting a mortgage contract together, which that wasn't my background, but I've kind of stepped in there and trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
But and then we need people at the build site, and if we if a point in time comes where we double our donations, then we double the number of houses we build per year.
Okay. Yeah, that's great.
And so, as you just said, is that, if we get some excavation, some people with some large machinery to clear some land for us and
that'd be great.
Put in the infrastructure, that would be great.
Yeah. Awesome. That's so great. Looking at your board now, how many people do you have on your board?
About eight.
Okay. And if people want to get involved, who do they talk to? Where should they go?
They could go to the Restore. talk to Phil and just put their name down.
Mm-hmm.
They could go to the webpage.
Okay.
I think it's got my name, probably got my phone number on it. Okay,
and that's in the link below on the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Great.
Yeah, and the location of the restore, of course, Dan's mentioned it, mm-hmm. but it's just if you're heading west on Balti, you go past Route 66 Auto Repair, and then there's Clark over there, and that's mm-hmm. right there. You can see the sign on
it's,
there. Yeah.
It's between Coleman Oil and Miller's.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yep.
Or Route 66 and Miller's, mm-hmm. right there.
Right there. Awesome.
Yep.
Any other thoughts that you guys want to get out there about habitat before we wrap things up today?
I'd like to say that if there's some people younger, not only in habitat but all of our nonprofit boards,
mm-hmm.
if they're younger folks and would like to join in to assist, we'd sure welcome them in BCHA, mm-hmm. Habitat, whatever. You know, the conservatory, any of those, there's a wonderful bunch of community nonprofits here.
Yep.
But we're always looking to kind of, I call it freshen the pond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a geezer myself. I don't speak for the rest. But, boy, I can tell you what, after a while, your energy level drops down to empty almost.
I've had to nudge you awake in so many board meetings.
It's true. I keep checking my eyelids for holes, and it doesn't work at the meetings.
That's great. Yeah.
Well, I'll second that up. What Kurt said about we can use young people. We could use some techie people that are web savvy.
Sure.
We've got a Facebook page and a web page that we struggle being geezers trying to keep that. And it's, you know, we're not totally fluent in that language. We know what it is.
It's all good.
We know what we want.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. Yeah. What's the web address again? Do you remember?
It's
Panhandle Habitat for Humanity.
It's Idaho Panhandle Habitat for Humanity.
Okay. And again, it'll be in the link below. So if I'm going to be on the board, what's my time commitment? Like, what am I looking at for what kind of blood type are you looking for?
We have one board meeting a month.
Yeah.
It's the second Tuesday of the month at 5 o'clock mm-hmm. at the Restore.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so you get the one board meeting, and then and Tom always pushed this, is that, you know, if you come to a board meeting, we're not looking for someone to just come there and say, hey, I'll be such and such. You should probably come to at least two, maybe three, mm-hmm. and as many as you want to, and just kind of, you'll say, hey, I think I could do, these guys need my help in this area.
Yeah.
We're not going to push you into one area because we're not good at knowing what really you want to do.
What if somebody says, you know, I'd love to be on the board, but I've never swung a hammer and I have no idea about building anything.
Can you sweep a floor? Can you pick up a rock? Can you haul a nail? I mean, it's not all about construction.
Yeah.
There's lots of stuff. How about being clerical and being able to put these developments together? And,
mm-hmm.
and boy, trust me, there's a lot of things to do with the county and such as you're developing. And that takes just being a runner.
Yeah.
Would be nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody that was into project management that could mm-hmm. kind of take that and like do it and say, okay, first phase we should do this and flow it out and try and figure out if we start here,
mm-hmm.
how long is it going to take us to get there?
Oh, that's great. That's great. Awesome. Well, hopefully we can get the word out there and freshen the pond a little bit. We appreciate you guys coming on and having the conversation. I'm looking forward to what may come in a partnership with the housing agency here and with Habitat. We love being your partner in housing advocacy and doing everything we can to try and make this place more habitable for more people. So, and we know that for a lot of people, it's a really difficult environment to buy.
Oh boy, let me tell you, being in the real estate business, I am.
It's a hard spot.
Tough. Well, I look forward to as speaking for Habitat or in my place, I look forward to working with BCHA also, is because I think you've got, you know, your recipe works for what you do, and and I think, you know, that if we can get some housing for our working here in Bonner County, I know that Lighthouse and Quest and all these others are, you know,
they need the housing.
They need the housing. They need housing for their people.
Well, we will stay diligent and keep the conversation going. But yeah, with that, I think we're going to wrap up. Appreciate you guys coming on. Thanks again to Ting, our show sponsor today, season sponsor, for sponsoring the show. And of course, BCHA sponsoring that. And
thanks to BHA,
thank you for
sponsoring us.
Yeah.
Letting us set in your facility here.
Yeah. So, hey, we will, we'll catch up again soon. And I'm excited. April 18th, you said, is the
April 18th is the dedication, 10 a.m.
dedication. And maybe we
83
can.
83 Whiskey Jack.
Okay, maybe, you know, one of the things I was thinking, and you guys can toss this around, is even highlighting, you know, some clients that you've had and telling their story a little bit. And, you know, the more that people can see the impact of what affordable housing actually has on real people in the community, the more, I think, the more viable our options become for people, and the more that people who've maybe been against it in the past will go, oh, actually, those are real families, real people that are really working, and they really need to live here.
And
so,
paying taxes.
And they're paying taxes. You better believe
actually,
it.
Yeah. And actually doing the deed gets everybody going again, because it's viable.
Right.
It's real.
It is. It is. So we'll mull on that a little bit and have, maybe have some episodes with some of your clients. Would be great. So
great.
Awesome. With that, thank you guys so much for coming on, and have a great day.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for watching this episode of the Bonner Breakdown. Special thanks to Ting and BCHA for sponsoring this show. For more shows or to be a guest, please visit BonnerBreakdown.com. Have a great day.